Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, baby, the harsh reality of your season ending at the hand of the Sacramento Kings happened last night. As the Kings roll over to Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. And oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, we're going to have a show ahead of us. Hell, we're going to have an all season ahead of us as the Warriors bow out to the Kings, 118-94. The Kings starters outscored the Warriors starters 104-48. Klay Thompson doesn't score in what could be his last game ever as a member of the Golden State Warriors. And there's a lot to sift through. There's a lot to talk about here. What went wrong this season? What went right? What could you build on in the future? But the death of a dynasty is real. That iteration of the Golden State Warriors is now dead. And now we need a reset. It just is what it is. It is what it is. We'll get into it all show long. 888-957-9570 is the number. As we shout out YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line and, of course, our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're gonna call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't today, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water, Playmaking and Drain. And Shask, I'll start right here. As we got into the last 7 minutes, and the last 5 minutes, and the last 3 minutes, and the last minute of the game last night, and you start to think about what the decade produced.
Mm-hmm.
4 championships, 6 finals appearances, the gravest memories of our basketball fandom life as Warrior fans.
Hands down.
You can't knock what they've done in the past. But all good things come to an end. And it's never easy watching dynasties fall. It's never easy. We watched plenty of dynasties fall all over the course of our lifetime, Shasky, including here in the Bay Area with the Giants and the Niners, and now with the Golden State Warriors. And the realization is that this trio, this big three of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, they reached the pinnacle. They reached their ceiling. But all good things come to an end. And that's all I kept thinking about in the last moments of that game, on the drive home last night, during the post-game show, is at the death of the dynasty. The fact is, you didn't make it out the play-in game with the most expensive roster in basketball history. And now it's time for change. And change is hard for a lot of people, Shasky, but that's what went through my mind. And we'll get all into it here, as I know I'm long-winded to start the show. But the death of the dynasty, man, that iteration of Warriors basketball is all but dead.
You know, last night's game to me was a microcosm of the last 2 years. It was just, it was coming. If you watch this team night in, night out, you know, all of the warts, all of the flaws, all of the issues, all rooted their ugly head last night. Yep. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot in sports. Like, why can't teams just take the L? Why can't they just take? Last night was a cold dose of reality for a lot of people. Well, if the Warriors win this one, and then they win on Friday, and then they get in, they can knock off Oklahoma. How could you not feel that way after what that trio has given you for a decade, at more than a decade, really? Mm-hmm. Unprecedented appreciation. Like, these are some of the words I was thinking of when I was sitting there. Last night was an ice cream night for me. The sadness of the reality. Whenever I get real sad and I start, you know, thinking about life and things that I can and can't change, I go right to the ice cream. I go right to the mint chocolate chip, and I sit there in silence by myself in the kitchen, no laptop, no iPad, no phone, and I just eat ice cream and I think. And I was thinking long and hard about the Warriors last night, and the Kings kicked their ass. I mean, there's just no other way around it.
Kicked their ass.
And they dismantled them. They look younger. They look more dynamic.
How lucky were the Warriors to be down 4 at the half last night?
Well, and you know, shame on everybody for blaming all the youngsters for the last 3-4 years. Yeah. Just every without the youngsters, you lose by 40 last night.
Yep.
I mean, that's where we're at. And there's a lot of issues that I have with how it went down, and we'll get to all that. But, like, the last thing I was angry. And I know, I'm not saying don't be angry. If you're frustrated and you weren't ready to have it end, I get it. Believe me, I get it. All right, I do. You know, I had my and I keep going back to this, and I apologize for that, but, like, there's certain grievings where you see things coming a mile away, and my dad was in a very sick, sad place for a long, long, long time, and it hurt really bad when he passed away. But, like, I was trying to mentally prepare myself for that moment, and you're never prepared, but I felt like watching the Warriors, and I'm not here to try to compare life and death to a basketball and all that, but there's a part of me that saw this coming from a mile away, and to have it happen the way it did, my thing was, I stood up, and I was like, damn, dude, you know how many great memories I got from these guys?
Yeah,
well, you know how many highs of the highs? How many anxiety-filled fourth quarters did you watch standing up inches from the television as these legends who are going to have statues, delivered unbelievable, unreal moments time and time again? The amount of joy we extracted from their achievements. So I get people being angry today. I'm not. I'm in a weird way, I felt like, and this is horrible, I'm sorry, I'm long-winded, I feel like it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
It's like the only way for this thing to move forward is to be reimagined, is to rip the Band-Aid off, B.
It almost felt refreshing to get to this offseason. It felt refreshing because you talk about all the clutch games they've been into, and I don't know if that's a good stat. To me, it was a sign of they're not good enough to blow people out. You're not getting up to get blown out. You're in that gray area. You're where the Atlanta Hawks were for many, many years, where you're not good enough to be a contender, but you're not good enough to be in the lottery. And his team was just good enough to get into the play-in. Like that, and I get it. The West was elevated this year. You win 46 games, really, which is two more last year. You had a couple of young players pop. But the fact is, you needed the big boys to show up yesterday, and the big boys did not. They got outscored 104-48 as starters. Keon Ellis outplayed any of the starters on the Golden State Warriors. Keegan Murray set the tone with 14 first quarter points. Brilliant. And he was probably one of the better players on the floor. I mean, three of the best players on the floor were playing for the Sacramento Kings last night.
Yep.
And the way they blitzed Stephen Curry, and you know, Klay Thompson going 0-10, I mean, it's the worst game of his career. And if that's the way it is for Klay Thompson, what a sad moment. What a sad moment to watch that go down. And I know how these things work. One game will wash away a solid season for Klay. But that lasting image of Klay Thompson going 0-10. Now think about this. Klay has never attempted that many shots without making one in a regular season or playoff game in his career. The worst game with the minimum of 5 field goal attempts was when he was 1-13 overall, 1-8 from 3 against the Sacramento Kings back on March 27th, 2013.
But Klay's
2013.
Klay's going to get
he's going to get a
disproportionate amount of hate, but, like, to me, like, Curry didn't play great. He had a lot of turnovers. Wiggins was I'm sorry. Like, Klay, of all my list of issues.
No doubt.
But
to watch Klay.
It was sad.
Because what Sacramento did was, again, something we highlighted yesterday. Ball pressure all 94 feet from Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis. You're not getting into your offensive sets until about 15, 14 seconds left on the shot clock. And you got a lot of non-shooters out there.
Yes.
And look at the shots Klay was taking. I thought he was uncomfortable all night. And credit Sacramento for that. And they made Stephen Curry uncomfortable. Here's the truth about Stephen Curry. Post All-Star break, he struggled with efficiency. If you take away the 6-6 game against the LA Lakers and the 7-13 game for the Pelicans, Curry shot 34% from three. Klay shot better than Steph post All-Star break. And Steph was gassed. You know, Klay plays the 77 games. Curry plays over 73 games. I mean, this guy was gassed. And for the first time, I thought, boy, Steph Curry is showing his age. Keanu Ellis ripped him three different times. Ball pressure left and right. And I get it. Steph was blitzed. He was doubled. He was tripled. He had no airspace.
Yeah, they did
a great
job.
That's the way the Kings should do it. I've been waiting for teams to come up with this game plan. Keegan Murray, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III. The list goes on and on and on. That long, active defender Stephen Curry has to see every single night. They figure things out on how to slow him down. And so for the first time, as I'm driving home, I'm thinking about Klay. I'm also thinking about Stephen Curry. Boys, the days of him leading a team to a championship or being the number one, numero uno on a championship team, are those days over? Does Curry need a co-star? I know we don't want to talk about Steph Curry.
Of course he needs a co-star.
And of course we don't want to get to Steph Curry, and I'm not disrespecting Steph whatsoever. No. I'm not. But for the first time, I thought, boy, he needs help in a major way. He needs somebody to lift the load, which is not easy because you got to remember, when you come here and you come to this culture, this organization, the fans automatically are going to ride with Steph no matter what. Just ask Kevin Durant and how that played out over 3 years. It was tough. It wasn't Steph Curry's fault. It wasn't his fault.
I think
but the magnitude of having Steph on this roster, that co-star coming in here, those are some tough shoes to fill, and those are some tough shoes to come into to play in this situation. That's the beast of it, Shasky.
Yeah, I know, but I think where Steph is, where the fan base is, where the organization is, I think they're welcoming any help that they can get.
No, I 100% agree with that. I'm not saying that at all. And it's not Steph's fault.
But you're right. There is an disproportionate amount of criticism that'll come to anybody who's coming for anything Steph Curry's. But I would just say this. I think at this point, we're welcoming a life raft. Like, Warrior fans are begging for a life raft.
I think Curry would welcome it.
You think?
Curry welcomed Kevin Durant for crying out loud.
I'm watching the whole league. You just watch these games, right? When teams run the high pick and roll, that guy who's running that high pick and roll is a threat. We're running it with Draymond, and Draymond hit a couple of threes last night, but he's not the threat that some of these other guys are in these situations, in these actions. You need to have a dynamic wing or a dynamic big who commands attention.
I agree.
You know, and there's a variety of issues. Curry wasn't good last night. Like, there's no other way around it. But I want you to isolate. I know you guys did at times on the postgame, but like, I was watching in real time, and I'm glad you guys showed it on the postgame. He'd come off of whatever action, and there's a second guy, and then a third guy waiting, and they're not even honoring their dude. So to me, it's like, well, look at that's brilliant coaching, brilliant discipline by the Kings, which they deserve their credit, because I do think we're losing giving the them enough credit.
The Kings dominated basketball.
But the reality is, they didn't lose in the Western Conference.
Right.
They lost in the 9-10
game. They lost in the 9-10 game.
The reality of where we are.
Right.
And here's the thing. I believe, and you can disagree, people can disagree out there, the only way to rip the Band-Aid off without the fool's gold, the fake carrot out in front of the donkey walking forward, the only way was to lose this way.
No doubt.
I feel like any other way, you go on a run, and then we do this, and then, oh, we were so close. Nah, man. We got to reimagine this thing.
What are you, Steiny right now?
But no, because I was listening to people on Steiny and Guru's show yesterday. And I was like, hey, we win Friday. We can knock off OKC.
No.
And part of me understood that point of view because I get why you would think that.
Shasky?
It's been a decade.
Can I miss something, Shasky? And people may not believe me, but I had a hard time envisioning them winning two games this week. I had a hard time imagining the Warriors winning two play-in games to get to Oklahoma City when this season is Toby. And you know, I'm locked into the season as well as anybody during the pre and post game. I'm looking at league pass everything. With last Friday's game against the Pelicans told you who the Golden State Warriors were. They didn't win those type of games all season long. All season long. And during this stretch, when they went 4-1 on that road trip, I came in and told you guys, I don't want to say it like that, but I didn't think they were playing good basketball during that 4-1 stretch. They lost to Minnesota, right? And they really controlled the game. The Warriors of old win that game. These Warriors don't win that game. And you beat Miami, who was shorthanded. It was ugly. You were losing at the half. Orlando was a struggle. You were losing. You're basically tied with Charlotte at the half. You're up 5 on the Charlotte Hornets at the half, and you're just struggling with San Antonio when you're down 8 at the half. I didn't think they were playing their best ball down the stretch. The turnovers that we cited, the points off turnovers that we cited, the live ball turnovers that we cited, they were not playing good basketball. Because why? Teams have surpassed them with athleticism, with length, with size, and they've been watching the Warriors dominate for a decade. For a decade. But all these other teams, every time, and I said this every single day on the show when it came to the Warriors, every time they go on the court, they're at an athletic disadvantage.
Clear, obviously.
At an athletic disadvantage.
It's obvious.
How bad athletic, they looked athletically mismatched yesterday. They were outworked yesterday on every level when it came to offensive rebounds, okay, second chance points.
Who of the top five paid players on the team? Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, and CP3. Who had a really good game?
Crickets.
Okay, so thank God you had youngsters because you lost by 50.
Yeah. JK?
Well, I mean, this is the JK had a moment in that game. Okay, so I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat some things here. I feel like I've been a hater of the Warriors all year in terms of how I've been talking about them, because I feel like I've been seeing this a mile away. There's the first thing. The biggest element for the team, looming over everything, Draymond Green. I mean, like, we're all afraid. Oh, Draymond's a champion. He's kind of sabotaged 2 consecutive seasons. Well, he played good in that game, but like, let's call it what it is.
Well, listen.
I mean, he sabotaged 2 seasons in a row.
You missed 17 games due to suspension. You missed another game because you need to ramp up from the suspension to get ready to play. And get ejected out of 4 other games. And that's the sad part. That is the sad part. When we think about Draymond Green's season, it's going to be overshadowed by the suspensions and the ejections.
They still haven't gotten over the punch the year before.
I know. But hold on, let me finish, Ash.
I'm sorry.
We'll get to that. Because Jordan Poole did play some really good ball. And I saw a tweet this morning from Justin Tinsley of ESPN, who we've had on the show plenty of times. Justin Tinsley, he tweeted out, "I wonder how Jordan Poole feels this morning." And no doubt, that really impacted the culture of this franchise. They have not been able to get over that. And all these people that were tweeting yesterday, as I was on Twitter more yesterday, boy, they could have used Jordan Poole today. Oh. They need somebody who could dribble, drive, penetrate.
No, you don't. Not you.
You know what I'm saying?
That fan doesn't get to do that after you drag this young man for 2 seasons.
But what I thought, and look, the Draymond Green suspensions and ejections will overshadow the good season he had on the court. Draymond Green proved to me, at least, that he's important to this team with the way he plays defense, the way he facilitates. But it ain't good enough.
Ain't
good enough for this iteration of the team. And what he did to keep himself off the floor overshadows everything that he does. It overshadows everything.
But Bonte, like, that's at the top, right? Like, that's one of the things. The other thing is, you made a horrific trade because of Draymond Green, which you're still reeling on. You traded a 23-year-old player for a 38, 39-year-old player, and then you told me said player CP3 was going to be very important come playoff time. Yesterday was a playoff game. You know who the first guy off the bench was at guard? It was Brandon Pajemski, and I love Brandon Pajemski. He's had a remarkable season. You went pods not once, twice before CP3.
What I text you?
Twice!
What I text you?
And then you had Pods guarding De'Aaron Fox.
What I text you?
You tell everyone.
I thought Kuminga would come in with CP3 to settle him down off the bench.
Agree!
And Chris Paul, and you can't tell me Chris Paul's happy. Chris Paul's hoping he's out of here.
Bonte,
he only played 18 minutes yesterday. He played 18 minutes and 17 seconds yesterday. 3 points, 1 of 3, no impact. Now, the pace was probably a little too quick for him, but in a game where you need to settle things down, and in a game where you turn the ball over 16 times, which is double the amount the Sacramento Kings had, and you have the points in the points off turnovers, you're a minus eight there, and you don't play CP3, Pods had a solid game. But you brought CP3 in for these moments, and you don't really play him. So now we circle back to the trade deadline and say, well, you should have just traded him if you're not going to use him in this moment. I thought we were waiting for this moment.
And then, which brings me to the trade deadline, Andrew Wiggins. I look it. Andrew, thank you so much for 2022. I'm so appreciative. I'm good off of Andrew Wiggins moving forward. And in fact, I think not choosing, and look, I understand people thought they could play alongside each other. Not choosing between Wiggins and Kuminga, to me, you set yourself up for frustration. You yo-yoed back and oscillated between the two players. For some reason, you acquired GP2. He ate into Moody's minutes. He ate into Kuminga's minutes. Kuminga was the guy you should have chose and you should have stuck with moving forward. Andrew Wiggins cannot be relied upon moving forward. I am grateful and I'm very appreciative of 2022. You squeezed the lemon for all it's worth. We got to move on. Like, there's so many elements. You got the whole Dre domino effect, and then Andrew Wiggins looming over the last two seasons as well. Like, there are a lot of components. On top of that, like, again, Clay, you know, to your point, it really sucks because we're going to kick this guy while he's down, and I don't think it's fair, and I don't think today's the day to do it, and it's going to be easy to do it because he went 0 for 10, and it didn't look good. But Clay's a legend, and the one thing I'll give Clay cares. I can't tell if Andrew Wiggins cares sometimes, and that's maddening.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Andrew Wiggins just have this. I talked to somebody close to Andrew Wiggins last Friday. The guy clearly cares. The guy cares. The guy, he does care. But when you got to guard De'Aaron Fox 34 feet, and you were expected to score another 20 offensively, and you're not touching the ball offensively early in the shot clock, because that's the problem. He doesn't touch it enough. He's not aggressive enough. And whether that's on him or not, I don't know. But Andrew Wiggins had a lost year. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
Two.
Andrew Wiggins, well, I thought he played well last year, then he went away, and that was that. But damn, Andrew Wiggins was MIA yesterday, a lot of botched layups. They just weren't good enough. His team wasn't good enough.
Soft Euro layups. I'm like, just
They were 10th place in the West Conference.
Sorry.
All right, let's...
I can't wait to talk to Warrior fans.
Well, we got full phone lines here. We'll get to them on the other side. 888-957-9570. It's all brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.